Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to A Matter of Conscience, our series on Radio Sai, where we reflect on matters concerning harnessing the power of our heart, the power of our soul, and living up to the challenges of our conscience in our daily life. Sometime in 2011, I remember talking to Mr. Krishnan Shankar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who after his master's in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning was then working in a telecom company called Avaya in Long Island, Newark, in USA. And when I asked him if he had any occasion in life when he had to deal with an ethical dilemma, a dharmic dilemma, he said just that year, on June 16th, which was actually his wedding anniversary day, he got a call from one of the company's clients to handle a particular emergency. And when he looked into the problem, he realized it was a disaster. It was a major emergency, and he and his team started working on fixing that problem. It was a Thursday. So from that Thursday evening, they were working continuously the next 2 days. The problem came to some sort of a temporary relief situation on Monday morning. But the problem was not yet solved, and it had to be dealt with. It had escalated, and now the manager, his manager, asked him, "Krishnan, do you have your passport done, and is it okay if you have to go to the client site in India, in Kolkata, and fix the problem?" In fact, all the other colleagues, they were telling him that, you know, this is a very good opportunity for you. Anyway, you have to go to India. He was supposed to come to Prashant Nilayam for Prima Bandham of all alumni of North America. Prima Bandham is an occasion where former students of Bhagwan's University assemble at his lotus feet. So anyway, he had to come to Prashant Nilayam in July. So all his colleagues told him, "You know what, this is a great opportunity. Now you have a problem, so you can go to India in company's expense, fix the problem, then go to your Puttaparthi, and you know, one bird, two stone. One stone, two birds." So, but Shankar somehow was not happy with this proposal, because he felt that the problem could be dealt without his physical presence. The company need not spend so much money on the expenditure, because it would be at least $10,000 if he had to go to India. So he told everyone, "You know, let's discuss about this later. Let us first now get together and see how to bring the situation under control." Actually, his other colleagues didn't want to be bothered. They didn't want to really cooperate, because they thought, you know, let him go and fix the problem so that they don't have to really spend their time, energy trying to do something sitting in the USA. Someone can go to the client and do it at company's expenditure. That's easier for everyone. But Krishnan pulled the colleagues and told them that let us please see how we can fix the problem. How can we bring it under control while we are in the US, and it can be done. But given his commitment and given his, he had proven his credibility, and the way he had dealt last 2-3 days working 24 hours, they could not refuse. And that is how they sat together and they put the system to stability. The system did really become absolutely stable back in India, in Kolkata, in the client site. And there was no need for anyone actually to come to India. And now, when I asked Krishnan, "You know, don't you think you actually missed an opportunity? This was a chance when you could have saved $10,000. You could have happily come to India on company's bills and had Bhagwan's darshan. But he said, I was never clear on this. I was not sure that I should do this with company's money. I wanted to be absolutely clear in my conscience. I was coming for darshan. He's someone who had the courage to not only hear the call of conscience, but also walk that path. A path generally less traveled in today's times. I cannot but remember very fondly our late president, Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, who left an indelible mark on the hearts and minds of Indians in a manner few other public figures have done in recent memory. The man who rose to occupy the highest and most prestigious position of this great nation, all he had accumulated in his life, his so-called material possessions, were nothing more than a wristwatch, 6 shirts, 4 trousers, 3 suits and a pair of shoes. He did not even own a fridge, a television or an air conditioner. And we are talking of a man who spent over 5 decades in public service, in government. And this happened not 100 years ago, not in the times of Satya Harishchandra or not even in the times of Mahatma Gandhi. This did not happen 70 years ago or 17 years ago. It happened now, very much in the present. Dr. Kalam's media advisor, former media advisor, S.M. Khan, says, Dr. Kalam would never accept a gift, except when it was a book. And whenever someone brought him a packed gift and tried to pass it off as a book, he insisted on examining what was inside it. And if it was anything other than a book, he would politely refuse it or politely return it. I remember reading in the tiny corner of a national newspaper a few months ago how 2 school-going children who were kids of farmers and daily wage laborers decided to return the 80,000 rupees they accidentally found on the road. And such tales, such stories, dear listeners, are all around us. In fact, such stories are probably more in number than the stories that occupy the prime real estate in national and local newspapers and even the prime time in news channels. In every society, in every city, in every town, hundreds and thousands of them, in every country, there are people who are comfortable to follow the call of the heart and strong enough not to be dissuaded or distracted by temptations. People who happily take the road seemingly less traveled. And yes, they face challenges within and without, but their conviction in their voice within is so strong that all the stones that came their way eventually became stepping stones. Stepping stones for them to doggedly pursue their path of virtue, their goal of uncompromising adherence to their principles. And it is these principles which define them, which strengthen them, which truly make them. And today, I wish to share with you one such tale, the inspiring story of Mr. D.S. Shekhar from Bangalore.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to A Matter of Conscience. Mr. D.S. Shekhar is the Managing Director of SFS Equipments Private Limited, one of the leading companies in material handling equipment business. Before I go on to his story, maybe I should share something about his company, as that will give us a good perspective of who he is, what he is today, and with what credibility he's sharing his views and his thoughts and his convictions. As I mentioned, he is the managing director of a leading material handling equipment firm. For those who are unaware, the material handling equipments refer to forklifts, reach trucks, order pickers, tow trucks, battery-operated stackers, and so on. Basically, all those vehicles are designed to lift and move and transport heavy loads, something from 700 kilograms to 5,000 kilograms. Obviously, it is for industry use, and today, SFS Equipments rents out or sells these heavy-duty vehicles all over India, right from Cochin in Kerala to Punjab in the north. And some of their long-term clients have been Coca-Cola, Colgate, Dell, LG, Honda, ITC, 3M, Hindustan Unilever, and so on. So that is an illustrious list. So yes, they are doing well in their niche segment. The company was founded by Mr. Shekhar in 1992. Initially, it was a proprietary firm, then called Sai Forklift Services. Later, Mr. Shekhar decided to convert it into a private limited company, and so was born SFS Equipments Private Limited in 2008. The company now had a partner with equal shareholding. This structure continued until 2014, when in July of that year, Mr. Shekhar had his share of the company taken over by an industrial group, the Shakti Group of Industries based in Chennai. So that is how there was a change of ownership, but Mr. Shekhar continues to run the company. He still is, like he always was, the managing director of the firm, and he is also one of the directors in the board of management of the company. So with that preamble, let us get on to his story. Very tragically, at the age of 10, Mr. Shekhar lost his father and mother.
So I had to work in a hotel as a cleaner to survive, because only in a hotel you get a shelter and food. So nobody will give. So from there I had to go to my native place, Andhra. There I worked as a pujari in a temple.
Oh.
I learned Vedam, then I did pujari, then cooking, all this. Then I used to do little business there. I was a cook.
Oh my God.
I was used to cook for the marriages and all the festivals. And in that process, I learned what is planning. Cooking is nothing but planning.
Yes.
And that gave me a wide open into my life, that everything is planning. So it is like, if you want to make one dish, you need to plan. You need to see that all the ingredients are there in time and the shape, everything is in order to make that recipe.
Yes.
Life is also the same. You take business, it is also the same.
Yes.
I didn't find any difference between cooking and business.
Wow.
I used to stay with one of my distant relative. So that man also passed away. So then that grandfather's daughter was there. She said, why don't you come to Vizag? I will take you and make you study for that matriculation. I was very interested in studying. I went to Vizag.
To do your 10th grade.
10th grade. I finished my 10th grade. Then she said, why don't you join in army? Her brother is in a colonel. So I said, let me give a try. Because anything is open for me.
No.
So then my aunt's husband told, I have a forklift spare part business. Why don't you join me instead of going to army? Anything is okay for me.
I mean, someone who is just swimming in the current, any straw that you get, you hold on to.
Hold on. So I go there and he fixed me a salary of 150 rupees. And he has taken me into his company to supply the spare parts to all the companies. Since I was so young, people used to never allow me to come into the company, you know. 18 and below is not allowed. So till gate I used to go deliver the material and come back.
So that is how Mr. Shekhar, often that very early in life, was trying to make something out of himself. Life gave him very little choices then. He just had to stoically deal with every pain and predicament. He had nowhere to go. And when you deal with so much in your early age, you get seasoned to handle any lows and any blows in life. So when he was still in his teens, he started working for his uncle. However, this did not work out for very long. Soon there was a problem. His uncle's relatives were taking over that company. and now there was no place for him there. Still, he wanted to serve his uncle out of gratitude, because his uncle insisted that no, you leave, because he felt that staying there would not be doing much good to his future. Only because his uncle insisted that he leave him and do something else, because the circumstances in that family were not welcoming for his welfare, that Shekhar moved from Vishakhapatnam to Bangalore. He wanted to start a new chapter in his life in this metro city. This was 1992. He had a young family, his wife and a little daughter, and he had just 20,000 rupees with him. Since he understood only material handling equipment to some extent, he started Sai Forklift Services. He was the sole proprietor of this fledging undertaking.
I just pray to Swami, I'm going to start something. So, first order comes from Maiko. When I visited them, they said they are facing a lot of problem with the material handling equipment. Can you help us? I said, I will do it. I'm accounts background, but I do engineering job.
Okay.
Okay. So, I said, I will do it. I took one service guy and I get all the machine repaired, and they immediately signed a contract for me.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I went to TVS Motors.
Oh.
ITC. So there we went, and there we started supplying parts to them.
Yes.
These three were only my customers, and I used to depend with these three customers.
So that is how the firm started. But he wanted to now expand and grow, plan a trajectory for the next 5 years. And that is where his tests began, and also the solid learnings in life and business.
You have to decide how you want to grow your business. You want to grow your business in a very short time to the higher level, or slowly and steadily, and make your foundation very strong. These are the two things in business which we look today. If you want to grow very fast, then you have to take all the other routes.
Mm-hmm.
And end of the day, you may collapse.
You have to take the shortcuts.
If you take the shortcuts, you will collapse.
There will be short circuit.
Yes, definitely. Many businesses have been collapsed like that. But if you want to have a steady business, and if you don't aim for a big money, you want your self-satisfaction, that's where the principle stands first. First you have to decide what is that you want, with how much you can be a comfortable life. The day you decide, I want to earn more, I want to have a luxurious life, and I want to have 10 bungalows and cars, then you need to do many things.
Well, it is not wrong to have such kind of ambition, right?
Yeah, you can have that ambitions. But provided that ambition should be supported by this, ethics.
Ethics.
If it is supported by ethics, even you go in any car, you feel proud.
Proud.
And you do whatever, you will be very happy.
Yes.
When you have honest business, you have a real freedom in your life.
In fact, I was reading somewhere the difference between money and Lakshmi. They said that if you cut corners, and if you, as you mentioned, try to grow too fast and take all the perhaps devious means, probably you'll have money, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll have Lakshmi. You may have money, but you'll not have Lakshmi.
Lakshmi, correct.
Because they say when Lakshmi comes, Lakshmi is seated around gold coins, but on a lotus. So you have this material prosperity, but there is so much of spiritual tranquility also, because Lakshmi is on a lotus.
Correct.
So when wealth comes in fair means, and in honest means, and in a manner that is the way Lakshmi would be pleased, then you have prosperity, and at the same time you have peace.
Correct.
I feel that is a very, very beautiful way of going about doing a business.
Yeah, it happens in businesses. You see big money also. But if you put your step too greedy into that,
yeah,
you lose many things.
Hmm.
You should know how to balance both.
So this balance of material prosperity and spiritual tranquility That is what one has to master. And to Shekhar, it was as simple as he put it. If your business is honest, you will experience real freedom in life. But I asked him, what do you do if you are asked by a client to do something which is not in line with your value system? How do you deal with it?
You felt that you have to do something which is not with your principles?
Principle, I used to withdraw myself.
Used to withdraw?
Yes.
Even if it was a big contract?
Yes. If I go to the company and give a formal introduction, we now today tell very clearly, we don't do under invoice, we don't do over invoice, we don't give bribe. We are very clear in our terms and condition. If you are okay only, we will do business with you. That we talk to all the multinational today.
Very clear.
Yes. In that process, which we more love to work was Hindustan Unilever.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption is zero.
Wow.
Everybody is very helpful and I found love with that. So whatever they ask, I say yes. I never say no. Even many times the payment will be delayed or the POs will not be there. I don't stick to rules, you know. Once you know this company is very clean, we go very straightforward and do business with them. Like that, there are many other companies.
Wow, that makes it easy.
Yes.
But were there times in your professional career where you felt that because you did not conform to certain demands of a client, you actually lost majorly?
Yes. The prime time of my career, I lost many business.
Oh.
Yes. Everyone used to laugh at me. If you want to be business, you cannot be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Since I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't give parties.
Oh, you don't do any of these?
Nothing.
Oh my God.
So people used to say, you don't even call us for party. I said, I'll not call. It's against my principle, I don't do it. Casually, if you want for dinner, we will go. But I will not take you for all this. Or I will not call for a cocktail party. We kept our principle like that. Very clean.
So according to Shekhar, adhering to one's principles uncompromisingly not only bestows you with tremendous satisfaction, which he mentioned, but as I was talking to him, he said it is actually the most sensible thing to do also in the current times. From a very, very practical point of view, the way to do business with ethics is in fact the smarter way to function in the current times.
Today's world, actually, if you are more truth and more honest, you will win. Actually, future is that.
That is the future.
That is the future. Because in future, you cannot have all this. One way, hats off, is technology is also taking control.
Absolutely. I mean, these days, everything leaves a digital imprint.
Yes.
There is a digital trail to everything.
Yes.
So if you do something inappropriate, very difficult not to be caught.
Correct.
Sometime there will be some footprint somewhere.
Everything, see.
Yeah.
Even your phone is switched off.
Yeah.
Still it can be recorded.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there is nothing like privacy.
There is no privacy. So, that today's world, people should be more careful.
Absolutely.
Than last 20 years back, people were different.
Correct.
Today, people should be more careful. So, why you want to fall into all this? Do straight business, be happy.
Yeah.
Well, this is what is Mr. Shekhar's conviction. Many would say this is easier said than done. Isn't it? The real world is not as simple and straight as one would imagine it to be. And if you're so fastidious about your value system, many would probably feel that you'll only end up losing many chances of growth. I asked Shekhar what he felt about this.
So were there times when, because of these self-imposed discipline that you had, you really majorly felt that, am I doing the right thing because I'm really losing out on so many opportunities?
That is, if you want to say that I want only money, then I'm losing the opportunities. There is somebody who is guiding us, who is giving us enough money to live luxurious life, like a Jamindar is, it's only with his grace. If you believe him in, he can do everything.
So that is the point. If money is everything for you, then yes, one is definitely not always on the winning side if you want to always stick to your values. You are going to receive setbacks, big and small. Secondly, if you think you are the one who is in charge, then there is chance to feel disappointed and dejected. But if one is sure that he is not the one who is running the show, but there is indeed someone else who is pulling the strings, and to that higher self nothing is impossible, then the whole perspective changes. And as a result, all the prospects also change. Life actually becomes a series of beautiful surprises.
Every time when my auditor sees my balance sheet, he'll ask, how it is possible, how much profit you are making? It's not possible in any other business. How you are making? I said, I don't know. 30% profit if you make, or 20% profit you make, today's business is very big.
Absolutely.
Say, how you make this much profit?
So miracles happen when you really hand over the reins of your real life to that higher intelligence in complete surrender and trust.
You won't believe, even our bank balances, when we have to pay our suppliers or something. So we used to see the bank, today bank balance is very low. By afternoon we have to pay them. So all we say is one prayer. Within 10 seconds I used to get a SMS telling, just now 10 lakhs has been credited to your account.
Oh my God.
This has happened many times.
Hmm.
It's not one or two times, it happens. So that gives you more confidence, you know. He never lets you down. When you have that assurance, what else you need in your life?
And it has happened so many times that you are fully convinced about it.
Yes, yes. I am fully convinced about that. That's why I don't take any tension. Why should you take tension? Even when the customer, when your bank balance, we have only 50 lakhs or 30 lakhs, customer gives an order for 1 crore, I say, we will take. Yes, I will supply you. You won't believe, it will be arranged. This is the positive thinking you have to keep in business. If you start thinking from where I will get money, how do I do, from where, who is going to support me, then means you don't have faith on anything. Either on your own you don't have faith, on your guru you don't have faith, on your Lord you don't have faith. So you are searching for the things, how can I do means I, you are cut.
Yeah.
So what we do is always I will say, Swami, let's take this order.
So basically it is him running it.
Him running it. It's purely. If you come to my office, you'll see the chairman sitting there. So it is the faith. Your faith should not shake at any moment, you know. Not only in business, even when there's a tough time in business, if there are some accidents. One of our colleague was killed working with the forklift by accident. So we warned him, but still he didn't do. We paid them the highest in that city.
Wow.
He was just 3 months old employee. We paid him 8 lakhs on the spot. The entire business community came and told us, what is that you are doing? He said, no, that family is important for us.
Management is all about man management. Bhagwan always told the management students. Across the board, world over, top business schools concentrate on training their management graduates on all facets of modern business, starting from analytical tools and techniques to total quality management to business strategy, mergers and acquisitions, but sidestep that crucial aspect which transforms a person into a leader, into a visionary. Even more significant is the journey that guides and trains, instructs and impresses upon an individual the need to first become a complete and whole person. A person holistic in outlook, genuine in personality, and someone who is a master of oneself before one ventures out to lead others as a manager. And this is at the crux of the ideal and wholesome management style when you view it from Bhagwan's lens, from the Sai lens. And even though Mr. Shekhar is not an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, by virtue of basking in his love and striving to to tune himself at all times to Swami, he had in fact imbibed the lessons of man management. For him, his employees are his family, and their welfare is paramount.
And all my employees, if you take, it's all sent by Swami again. It's like they are all come from different locations, I don't know. I have a principle, I will not fire anybody.
Mm-hmm. How many people are working with you?
100.
Okay.
I have a principle, I don't fire anybody. Even whatever the mistake they do, because of their mistake I may lose a couple of lakhs, mm-hmm. but still I don't fire them. I will tell them and I will try to give a suitable job to them. So what we have noticed is, they come on their own and they go on their own. When somebody comes, we even don't send them, we'll try to accommodate them.
Wow.
It is not that we should not accommodate, because we know that so much importance for them for a job is very important.
You know,
for
how
a
much
livelihood.
People look for a means of livelihood.
Livelihood. So what we try to do is, what help we can do, we will try to help them. We will try to teach them further. Some people will pick up, some people on their own they go. It is, that's what again he decided. If they are going on their own, it is all his decision, it is not our decision. So I also tell my employees, I am also working in this company, I am not the boss of this company. I have to report to my chairman whatever I do.
And his chairman, as he said before, is Bhagwan. All the time, he feels he is working for Swami. And his reward is not the money earned by his efforts, his eyes are on something else.
Purely Swami's grace. That grace is only important in our life. It is not any other thing we have to earn. So business, whatever we do, is for others. He is taking care of us. And business forecast, he gives us such a way that 5 years before only I can tell what is going to happen in this business.
He guides you?
Yes. When we started this rental business, we started in 2002. At the time, nobody was there. Today, there are like mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we have our own clients. We don't go to everybody. We choose clients. Still, people run, but we don't run. And none of my customers will say, your service is not good. Some customers will go off from us, and after that he'll call us and say, sir, you are only correct, you are only doing it better, we are very sorry, please come back.
Wow.
This is the feedback.
Hmm.
And the joy in doing business is you can help people.
Wow.
The joy in doing business is you can help other people. That's so significant, isn't it? In fact, that is the original purpose of business. Business, when it started, it was a way of serving society by providing a few goods and services. Only in the last 100 years or so, with the rise of capitalism, its objective has been dangerously redefined to ensure wealth maximization for shareholders. In fact, in 1970, Milton Friedman, Nobel laureate economist, aggressively propagated the idea that the sole concern of business should be maximization of profit and that it cannot accommodate a host of other conflicting interests. This is the dangerous notion that captured entrepreneurs in the last 50-70 years. And the scene only became more dismal with the rise of super capitalism, which is leading in dividing the world into two halves and increasing the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And it's happening at a pace which is unsympathetic. With the capitalistic frenzy taking over the corporate boardrooms, anything other than economic growth of the company is overlooked, and any shortcut to growth, even though questionable, is welcome. And all this is because modern business has lost sight of its original purpose. Bhagwan once said, true business is that which is carried out on the lines of truth and righteousness. Profit earned without these two cardinal principles should be considered as loss, not profit. And for Mr. Shekhar, life has taught him that if at any point in time he received money which strictly did not belong to him, he knew it would just go away in some sudden unexpected way. It could be a medical bill, it could be a damage to the car, it could be anything of that nature. So it has been his principle that if he received any money for any reason for which he has not worked, he immediately gives it away in some good cause. He says only when you don't have unwanted money is when your vision is clear and your path is without any potholes. In fact, initially the inflow of money might be slow and there may be times when one may be ridiculed for not being smart enough. But Mr. Shekhar says this is the first test one has to pass when one wants to do business the way it ought to be done, the way Swami wants us to do.
That is the first examination we have to pass.
That's the first test.
Where you should not bother for people talking behind you. You should look at only straight and listen to only him, that I am going on the right way. I will tell you, your path will be cleared like anything. The people who take bribe also will come and do the job for you. That is a fact. I challenge anybody, if they really want to put their soul into this and practice this, they will definitely see the way. Any business you take, it is possible.
You can,
yes,
follow truth. Truth, yes. And righteousness are not only for platform speeches. You can actually live it.
Live
in
it.
Today's,
yes,
dog world.
Yes. When I see them, I feel pity for them.
He feels pity because even though a lot of money is earned, when someone cuts corners, what people don't realize is this money does not stay. What comes very easily also leaves very easily. While Mr. Shekhar is convinced about all this, I was thinking, how is his family taking all this? Is his family okay with his ideas and ideologies? Do they not feel that if only he was perhaps a bit flexible or maybe more street smart, probably they would have led a more comfortable and affluent life?
If you take my family, they are my backbone.
Wow.
In supporting, because see, I may have my rules and regulations, but following that, from their point of view, if you think,
yes,
they may think, see, all other people are in so luxurious life, and why my husband is doing business and he's not getting enough money, why we are not having luxurious life, it may come to them. But they never, even one day, they came and told me that whatever you are doing is not enough. Thus, they stood next to me and always that support was there. And most of the time I used to travel, I was never be at home. But how Swami used to take care is, we cannot tell it in words. There are so many incidents in life which he has always corrected us, you know. Whenever we go little bit this side, that side, he'll immediately give a cautious and correct it.
When he takes over, he takes over. When you give yourself completely, he also gives himself completely.
Completely, that's what. That's what I tell my family. See, you should feel one thing. From the day one, we are not born rich. But still, he has kept us in a very good way, that whatever you want to buy, you have money. You have a car. You have a house. And your children are healthy. And everybody are into Swami's fold. And we do every week bhajan. How many houses today's teenagers are doing? Being in the city. Here I have to tell you, when Swami took Mahasamadhi, me and my son came and we were sitting here in Mahasamadhi. And I was crying, but my son was not crying. My tears were rolling down and I asked him, what did you pray? The answer he gave me was so shocking. I would have never imagined in my life. I came here to thank the body which has carried Swami for 85 years.
He told that?
He told that.
Oh my.
I was shocked. a 15 years old kid talks like this?
He always knew that he is beyond the body.
Even now my tears will roll down if I look at that answer.
I came to thank the body which carried Swami for 85 years.
He didn't cry, he was sitting there. It really shocked me, the answer. Today youth, not only my son, I have seen many people outside. They are totally different. That's what I was thinking. The 85 years love, where should it go? It is spreading. We may be sitting here in Prashantanilayam, but the spreading is happening all over the world. So,
the golden age, as they say, as I was talking to Gene Massey, is a filmmaker from Hollywood, and he was telling me, golden age has already arrived.
Arrived. It is there.
If you have the eyes to see, it is already there.
Even today, I will challenge anybody. I will tell them, apart from your requirement or your this one, you pray for anybody, it happens.
Wow.
You don't do for anything for you. You pray for others. To make others happy, you ask him anything.
He will get it.
Yes. That you have to really experience it. For others, you say, I want to make these people happy by doing this. You can do that. Anything.
The universe will work together to make it happen.
Yes.
That is the power of selfless love.
Love. That's what Swami has left with us. That is what is guiding us today, you know. He's here very much. He's guiding us. He's speaking this. Is that for others I am ready to do anything. You are already in me, so I am taking care of you. But your job is to see
others, sir.
Others. My always query will be what I should do for others, what I should do for others. This is only query, always. If anybody asks anything, I have to do it. So whatever he chooses, that person will come to us. That is what we understood in our life. It is not that we have to do this one, we have to make building bungalows. Even I told my children very clearly, I am not here to make properties. Whatever remains will be with you. I will not earn for you or for your children, nothing. That is not the purpose of life. Purpose of life is why we are earning, that is he has decided to do what? To give it to somebody or whatever it is. It is not somebody, it's all our brothers, sisters only. So, the process, our children also accept that fact, you know. And actually if you see today, actually children are earning more than the parents. So that fact, many people are ignoring that.
You don't have to spend all your time saving for them.
Saving for them. God has given them a better future than you.
Mm.
Many people suddenly will come and say, sir, that day you helped me, gave me 5,000. Really?
You don't even remember.
I don't remember. My wife always says, you don't remember anything. I said, I don't remember anything.
But I think that is such a fantastic trait, because people, when you do good to others and you don't remember, that means it just shows how genuinely you have done it. You know, because many times when, you know, we do something little for others, we want to think about it and we want accolades for it, we want acknowledgement for it, you know. But if you do something for the other and you don't even think about it, it means that you didn't even think that you did something for the other. It just happened because he wanted it.
Because it's not me doing.
Yes.
The money which comes also is for meant for somebody. For me, I don't care. He is taking care. For me, I don't need to look at anything at all. He takes care.
He takes care. That is what was the recurring theme in this conversation that I had. And I was curious to know, after hearing all this, how Swami entered his life. And what is it that he experienced that gave him so much courage to walk on this path? To walk on this path of doing business for him, living every moment of a life for others, living every moment of a life to live his teachings in your real life. So I asked him his journey to the lotus feet.
In 1976, we were living in Old Madras Road in Bangalore. So I was crossing the road. I fell under one car. Mm-hmm. And the car tire came and stood in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
If the brake was not applied, that day my life would have ended. So I got up. It is Swami's car and Swami sitting inside and he's blessing me from inside.
Wow.
I was 10 years old. I thought, it's a real life. So next day morning, I told my father, this thing happened. Then he said, why don't we go to Kadugodi only? Swami is staying here only. Let's go. So there we came and we sat. First Swami walks straight to me and create vibhuti and he keeps like this.
Puts it on my head.
Neither to my father, nor to my brother, to my sister. Only to me. I see the difference.
Not a word spoken also.
Not a word.
But everything is communicated.
Everything. I am taking care of you.
It happened when you were 10 years old.
10 years.
I think from then on you knew that he's very much in control of...
Yeah, in between I had a fight with him.
Well,
that happens.
That's because you had that much of an intimate relationship with him.
Yeah, see, exactly after that incident, after 3 months or 4 months, my father passed away.
Uh-huh.
With blood cancer. I was so confident, I straight came to Vrindavan. Before that, I lost my mother 2 years before. So I had only father. Father also I lost. So I thought, next day morning, I'll walk into Vrindavan. Swami will take care. Chubby Gospel is there. College is there. He will take care. So I walked straight to Vrindavan. He never came that same.
Mm-hmm.
Normal route also, that 2 days, 3 days, he never took. Then I had angry. He is not a God. If he is a God, he would have taken me and put him in his hostel.
Especially at this time.
At that 10 years age, what you will think? So I was just wondering, is not God. Like that, you know.
Because he didn't take care of you.
He didn't take care of me. If he's a God, at that time I'm in need, so he has to take care.
So even though his entry to Bhagwan's fold was so dramatic, after that the Lord began his process of chiseling him, like he does with every devotee. And because he has a plan for everyone, he has to prepare everyone for the role that he has designed for them. And that is how his journey with Bhagwan also moved on. For the next 8 years, Shekhar actually did not return to Swami. But the Lord had his own way of drawing him back to the warmth of his physical presence. It took 8 years.
Then what happened is, I went to somebody's house and Swami's photos were there. Then that lady, her name is Rukmanamma. I think she stays in Puttaparthi. So she said, no, you go and meet Swami. You have a wrong thinking. Why don't you go once? So I said, okay, I'll go. And I came back here after 8 years gap.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami walks straight and comes and gives me again vibhuti. Then tears rolls down and no word. Nothing.
Again.
Then your journey again starts. Connection is again
restored.
But that 8 years is the MBA I have done.
Doing so many businesses. That was your master's
in
learning.
That is what Swami has taught me is the life.
All the hardships that you went through, that prepared you for what?
That prepared me for today. So if I were joined college, I would have not been today like. I would have been a different.
Absolutely.
But understanding people, understanding their pain. And he made me zero interest on money. Zero interest. That money is everything. He has taken out from my mind totally. Still people say money is everything. But he has taken out totally from my mind. And today is, whenever I see something, Swami, if you will, you give me that. If you don't will, I don't want. E car bound because Swami, meek nachite. Like that. My discussion is always with him is like that.
Wow.
Meek nachite.
If you like it, then give it.
You like it.
Wow.
So things comes automatically what he likes.
Yes. Everything happens automatically, quite mysteriously, once you give him complete charge of your life. In fact, the way their company shaped up in the recent times is again a fantastic story. the shape the business is in currently is completely because of how Swami turned it in 2014. There was a new twist to the company's functioning and its growth.
Actually, we were running in a very peak of our business with 120% growth.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, there was partnership issues that this came.
This is recently?
Recently. Before we sold our company to Shakti Group of Companies. So, I was only looking at he's holding something. It is not that when company is zooming at 120% increase, people will rush. But he didn't allow me to do business for 2 years in that peak time.
Oh.
Totally stagnated. But turnover was increased, profit was increased, everything was happening. No investment, nothing. With existing, we were running. Partners used to give trouble this side, but still, he didn't shake us anywhere. He made us strong day by day. But point is, we were only looking at why is he holding us not to go.
Why is not allowing you to
climb
even higher? Yeah.
There is a reason. There should be a reason. That is why he's holding us. I was always thinking in that way. Otherwise, things would have happened. I was the number one guy in India to do electric machines. And I have worldwide contacts. And I can do anything. And my profits are fantastic. Till today, all my loans are paid in time. If you take my bank credential records, not even 1 day delay. Everything is perfect. But he never allowed me to do business. Beyond that. Then I thought, there is a reason. We should not worry for that. But outside world people will not believe that. I don't want to say that what all I undergone, the tensions. But I never took even a single tension on me. I was only Bindas. I used to simply go office. Whatever happens, I will not miss my office. I used to go sit morning 10 to 6, do the office work. And one day also never felt that because of this I should not work like this, I should not do like this. Or because my partner is cheating me, let me go and do second business or I'll open one more business, divert everything. I never had any second thought at all. It is his office I am doing, it is not my office. Why should I bother? Things happened exactly. 2 years he made me wait. Now everything, the way I want infrastructure, he has given me that. The way the office has to be there, he has given that. The way the people who, because in our business we need not less than 10-15 crores to further grow. He has bought me a man worth 5,000 crores.
now he is owning the company.
He is owning the company and he says, what you are making profit is a peanut for me. And he is telling me, why I bought this company, I don't know.
Oh, that person says?
That person says, why I bought this company, I don't know. Because this is nothing to do with my companies.
His line of business.
His line of business. And he says, why I bought this? I was laughing myself, I know why you bought this. That internally you cannot.
I know.
So, like that, he takes care and it's his business. It's not our business. All we need is to maintain that integrity in the business.
You maintain that integrity and that purity and his pure love will flow.
His pure love is flowing. That is where it is happening.
So beautifully Bhagwan has looked after the company and its growth, its trajectory. And Bhagwan has taken care of not only the company and all the major needs of the family, but also sweetly fulfilled every little wish of every member of this family, of the Sai, of his Sai-filled wife, his two daughters and son.
See, my wife, she had a dream of having a Padnamskar in her lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
She has to wait for 18 years.
Oh.
Why? Because I will tell you, whatever Swami promises, no, he will fulfill that. Or your prayer is from the heart. Time is not fixed by you. Time is fixed by Swami.
He knows the right time.
So, it took 18 years for her to get Padnamaskar.
Wow.
That's what I say. See, when you understand in life, time is different with
God.
That applicable for everything.
Yes.
It is not only for Padnamaskar. It happens to everything. So whatever time he has decided only will happen. It's not decided by us. And we should be ready for everything.
Wow. Well, remember, they say God upsets our plans so that he can execute his plan.
Yes. His plan is always better.
Yeah.
The day you understand his plan is better,
yeah,
you should not plan.
You should not. Yeah, you stop planning.
You don't plan.
Yeah.
Next day morning, which customer I have to visit, there is no plan in our this one. Everyone in my office is, why you work like this? I say, next day morning, whoever calls, I'll go there. I don't make a plan. To go tomorrow morning, I have to be here. That's why even my family gets confused tomorrow where I am. No pre this one. So I will just say, tomorrow I'm just going here. When they call, I say, no, I'm in Bombay.
Oh my God.
I come day after tomorrow. Somebody calls, okay, I'll come. See, you require some business planning, everything fine.
Yes. Yes.
But when you know the facts, when you have a direction, then you don't need to plan.
Yes. When you know that you are constantly guided and you believe in that,
then no need to plan.
No need to plan.
So it will take care. Yes. Even today any problem comes, all we do is one prayer. For me this type of problem is coming to this place. Guide us. That's all. As a chairman, I have to report to him. This is a problem happening. This is what is happening. So everything, see, you have to take challenges. You have to test yourself in between, in between, in between, to keep your faith rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make your own tests. You don't allow till God test you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to take a big test. So in between you have to do your own testing.
Do your own test of your faith and be confirmed in
it. Be confirmed. Whatever you do, you have to discuss with him. Whatever you do, there is no good, bad for him. Everything you can discuss with him. There is not that this is only I will discuss, this I will not discuss.
Yes.
Even you want to have Pani Puri, Swami, come, let's have Pani Puri. Simple.
Absolutely.
From there to anything.
Yes. It's not that he doesn't want to enjoy the good things of life. He has even made the good things of life.
Why you avoid him there?
Why you avoid him there? Everything is his.
Everything is his.
He's actually so happy. I mean, he's very happy when we get the things that we happy and if we are happy. And I mean, he's the best well-wisher that we can ever think of. So there is no need to sort of bifurcate.
That joy is totally different.
Different, absolutely. Life becomes a celebration.
Life becomes
a celebration.
See, whatever you want, it is possible. It is not that there is nothing is impossible. This in way 2004 or something, I heard that Swami was supposed to go to US. There was a rumor.
Yes.
I was thinking, Swami, you are going to US. I didn't see one country also, Swami. What is this? You also should take me along with you.
Mm-hmm.
This was my prayer, you know.
Oh.
You also take me along with me, US, Swami. I have to see all the world. Even I would love to come. Like that. Swami didn't go. 2005, I started my international career. Today I cover all the countries. I am not a big businessman. It's not big. That's what I am telling. I am not a big businessman or I have a couple of crores in my this one. Even today my bank balance is zero. But how much ever I want is being given to me. Even if I want 5 lakhs, I get 5 lakhs. If I want 100 rupees, I get 100 rupees. So I forget anything that tomorrow I have to do something is not there in my calendar at all. I want to save this money for this purpose is not there in my life. This money is meant for this purpose. So that's where he gives us that joy of living, you know. 10 o'clock you go and sleep, aramsi you will sleep.
Well, it almost, I think for many, it might even sound like utopia. It might sound unbelievable.
Unbelievable, I know.
Because I think it will be very, very uncomfortable for many people to think and even imagine that somebody is leading such a life actually.
That depends on your faith.
Yeah.
That should be constantly,
that is what
has to be there.
Faith all about it. Just like the wings of the bird. The bird is never afraid of the storm because it is never depending on the branches or the twig or the tree. It knows it has its wings.
Correct.
It's the same like that. You know, you don't depend on yourself. You don't depend on your business or on anyone. You are depending only on the wings.
Correct.
And he can take you to any heights at any time. Wow.
And I'm sure this will definitely help so many who are trying to live by His word in their lives. It will definitely give that much confidence in someone who always has these doubts about, can I follow this path and what will happen to me, what will happen to my life, what will happen to all the good things of life that I may miss. I think there is nothing of that nature. Your life can only become good.
It's not I miss, we miss, if you can put it,
yeah.
Then
everything is fine.
Everything is fine. Because that's where the differentiation comes.
Yes.
Everything we.
Yes.
We do it.
Yes.
We live together.
Yes.
So you have to put part of your life, whoever you pray. You pray to Jesus, you pray to Allah. But make part of your life.
Make them part of your life, yeah.
So that if you make, then life becomes more easy, you know. Control is with Him.
Absolutely.
So when He is the driver, you do not worry at all.
Don't worry.
So if we have to go rough pages, yes, He takes us into rough pages also, sir, yeah, in life. But it is also guided tour.
Yes, yeah.
It's a guided tour.
Yeah. You enjoy the roller coaster with Him.
It's not that He has left you.
Yeah.
He will take you through that, but He's always guided. That is an experience which you have to learn in a life. Yes.
Something for you to grow.
That's to grow.
It. Absolutely.
That's where I think we all should move forward.
Yes. Take everything in life in that perspective.
Correct.
Then, as you said, every moment of life will become a celebration. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
It was nice talking to you. Thank you.
So that was the reinvigorating session I had with Mr. D.S. Shekhar from Bangalore in September 2014. Not many know that when Bhagwan used to visit Whitefield, in Mr. Shekhar, during those 2-3 weeks or months of Swami's stay in Bangalore, he would just stop everything. All his time, attention, energy would be only to serve Bhagwan as a Sevadal in Vrindavan. In fact, all his clients also would be told that all these 3 months, Mr. Shekhar is going to be scarcely available. In fact, he himself would tell them, because he feels there is nothing to hide. And in fact, there are times when his clients would tell him that, you know, these 3 months are actually critical for us. Why are you doing this? But Shekhar would tell them, even for me, they are very critical. Because for him, there is nothing more important in life than being in Vrindavan when Bhagwan is there and using that chance to serve Him. And he says that he never missed anything because of this. Because the rest of the 9 months, Swami would give him enough to cover for these 3 months. That was his faith, commitment, dedication to serve whenever Bhagwan was in Vrindavan, and every time he did it, he stood vindicated in his faith. He says every time Swami lives up to His word, He never lets us down. When we live for Him and for His message, we automatically become His messengers. He says when he goes to Germany or other European countries and people there see that he does not drink or he does not eat non-veg, they ask, how do you live? In fact, they come and touch him to see if he's still alive, he says. Because that is how much incomprehensible for them life is without drinks and things like that. Well, that was the first experience, but he says when he, on his subsequent visits, when he went to these countries, now when people there see him, they don't ask him about whether he would like to drink or whether he would like to eat or what he would like to do. They ask, first question they ask him is, how is your Baba? How is your Baba? And I think that is the greatest tribute we can give to Swami. If someone sees us and instantly feels that we are different, that there is something unique about us which is noble, which is inspiring, which is enlivening, which is making a positive difference to everything around, I know Swami would definitely be proud of us. More important than we loving Swami and Swami loving us is Swami being proud of us. And I think that indeed would be the beautiful fulfillment of following this path of walking the talk of our conscience. When we follow our heart, the Lord follows us. And the fallout is a festival of supreme love, supreme sublimity. So beautiful, life becomes, it glows in His love. And it expands in such a beautiful manner that it encompasses everything and every being. There comes a time when you, as He very beautifully said, there is no more I. That I to we to He, that journey happens so smoothly and so beautifully. Life achieves its purpose. So dear listeners, this is what I gathered from the conversation that I had with Mr. Shekhar about a year ago. Do share what you think about this episode of A Matter of Conscience. We would love to share with you such stories of people who are trying to live by values in today's times. And if you also have any such story, or if you know of any such beautiful soul, such beautiful tale unfolding around you, please do let us know. And let us share these stories. Let us share the fragrance of His love. Let us share how we can make this world a beautiful place just by looking at all that is beautiful around us. With this, it's time to conclude this last segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And as I sign off, you will listen in a few minutes a drama entitled Prema Vahini. This is by children from Tamil Nadu. This was staged in front of Bhagwan on 13th April 2008. So keep listening. Do tell us what you feel. Because everything that you say, every mail of yours is always very encouraging, and it always gives us feedback. It inspires us to continue this journey of sharing His love and His message. As we wind up this day-long beautiful Thursday Live programs, I offer my gratitude to Bhagwan for this beautiful chance to ruminate on Him and His message, and dedicate everything beautiful that came out through all of us at His lotus feet. Thank you so much for being with us, dear listeners, in this beautiful journey. Sai Ram, loving Sai Ram, and a good night from all of us at Radio Sai.